That was some powerful singing today. Wow, the group from Abidjan, that was wonderful. And Liberia, Sister Mary, as usual, that was some wonderful singing. Praise God, it's snowing, and we still almost got a full house. This is wonderful.
Yes, we got a victory.
Amen. If my wife and kids were here, it would be a fuller house. I just got off the phone with them, and we had rented a car yesterday so that we could drive separate cars here. And she told me she got halfway down the street and the brakes felt like they were giving out on her. So she turned around and came back. So when I get home, I'm gonna make her listen to the message. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make all of them sit down and force feed them. but praise God, the group from Boston is here anyway, in spite of the weather.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Pastor Steve and Mary and all your family, praise God. They'll to see if maybe I'm just prophesying to the brother. I don't know. Praise God. I'm just blessed to see all of you here today. God bless you, Terry Ann. We haven't seen you in a while. Thank God for Terry Ann being back amongst us. Hallelujah. We thank God for Sister Mary in the back there for coming there again and singing. Hallelujah. God bless you, Sister Mary. Amen. All right. And I thank God for my sisters, Genevieve and Dee Dee, for taking care of the Paul Tuckett folks for me. Karen. Karen. That's teenage youth member is here 2 weeks in a row. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the teenagers. My friend Anthony, me and him have been buddies for a long time, and I'm just so glad to see him here today. Hallelujah. That's my partner, that's my peeps. Y'all mess with him, y'all can come through me first now. Now, I can't fight, but, I'll get Pastor Christic on you. He won't let nobody hurt me, right? All right. Praise God. Just a couple of preliminaries before we get into the message. Ann mentioned the book, What We Believe and Teach. There are a couple of things in the book I'm going to adjust. For example, we said that we believe and practice foot washing. We may have to change that. I've been enlightened by Pastor Christic as to the nature of what foot washing actually was, and I feel like he's right, and he's more biblical in that aspect than I am. So we're going to probably adjust that or delete it completely. So if you get the book, don't just ignore that portion of it. We'll have new books out, but there's no money back guarantees. Okay. That's right. And there's maybe one other thing in there that, although I believe it, I have to talk with the leaders about it because it's something controversial. Before I had a church with so many people, it was me and my family, so I could just say whatever I wanted. Okay. But now, we got leaders here and we got to discuss doctrines and stuff like that.
Amen.
So, but the majority of the stuff is in that book. You will find that it's biblical, essential to your life, and as Sister Ann said, that you can point it out to anybody and tell them this is what your church believes. Glory to God. And if they don't like it, then, praise God. There's many good churches around that might believe what they want to believe, even if some of them are dead. All right, praise God. Let's go into the Word of God. Hallelujah. For the past couple of weeks, or maybe the past month and a half or two, we've been talking on the series of forgiveness, the key to victorious living. And God keeps giving me so much about this subject. You would have thought, from all the books that I've read that have very little about the subject in there, that there wasn't much in the Bible about it. But when you go to God, God seems to expand and teach and show you different things about the subject. And so I'm just going to keep on giving it to you as God gives it to me. In other words, as God slaps me around, I'm going to slap you around a little bit. Amen. All right. I got to get it, so you're going to get it too. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Some scriptures we'll be going over again. I promise you there are more scriptures that we're going to be looking at, but I keep getting different insight into different scriptures. And I want to show you something. As a matter of fact, God even corrected me on something yesterday that I've been telling y'all for the past couple of weeks. And I'm going to share with you in a moment what God corrected me on and how wrong I was. See, I don't know about you. Many of y'all, when God speaks to y'all, He always says nice things to you. You know, He says, it's going to be okay, my son or my daughter. You know, that's what y'all get all the time. Now, me, I get that sometimes, but other times I get correction too. And sometimes it ain't fun and it ain't pretty. But let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Now, God never condemns. Amen. Yeah. Let me point that out right now. He never condemns you. But He will rebuke and He will correct. All right, Matthew chapter 6, begin at verse 12. And Jesus says, in what we call the disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer, depending on whether you're a dispensationalist or whatever, He says, verse 12, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Basically, within the same amount of forgiveness that you extend to people who are indebted to you is the same amount of forgiveness God's going to give back to you, whether you like it or not. Now, sometimes when I pointed this out to you before, I said, I don't know why God has decided this way. He's sovereign, and He can make His own decisions, but I don't know why He decided this way. God corrected me on that. He said, son, I told you right there why I decided it that way. Yes, I'm sovereign, but I told you, and you even explained it before in your first message. I said, what was that? He said, it's the principle of sowing and reaping. He said, I established a law of sowing and reaping. I have said that I am a God of reciprocity. I am a reciprocal God. I am a give and take relationship type of God. You give according to my laws, then I will give back to you within the same extent. You see that throughout the Bible. And even concerning our, you know, like our missionary giving. The Bible tells us that if you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. He who soweth sparingly shall reap what?
Sparingly.
He who soweth bountifully shall reap what?
Bountifully.
See, that principle is throughout the Word of God. And it even concerns, and it's not limited to finances, it's concerned for giving too. God gives as much, He gives you in abundance for as much as you decide to give into, or how much you decide to sow. You sow forgiveness into somebody's life, God will give you an abundance of forgiveness in your life. And how many of y'all know that nobody could ever do to us what we've done to God? Amen. Nobody could ever do us as bad as we did God. We sinned against Almighty God. We dissed the Almighty by turning our backs on Him, by rebelling against Him. Yet He has forgiven us big.
Yes, He has.
How dare us not to forgive others? And if we don't forgive, then because of His laws, because of the way He established things, He is obligated not to forgive you.
Yeah.
Now, we've been talking about how unforgiveness opens the door for the devil in our lives.
Yeah.
And we went on in the verse 13, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Your King James Version may just simply say evil. But the actual Greek says the evil one. It's talking about a personality. And who knows who the evil one is? It's the devil. It's Satan.
Yep.
Or as my daughter would say, it's the devil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now somebody, I was happened to be on the internet just debating with a couple of atheists. You know, I have fun sometimes. I just like to fight with people that don't believe in God. See where they at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to challenge them on their evolution and stuff like that. Just a hobby. Anyway, I'm hoping I'm witnessing to them and planting seeds into their lives. But one atheist says, he read this and says, "And lead us not into temptation." How can you pray such a prayer to a God who's supposedly loving? Well, we got to understand this is what is called a, what was that word we used the last time? Anybody remember? It started with an H. Yeah, because I told y'all to forget it. That's why. It is a Hebraism. In other words, it's saying, it's language used to talk about God in a sense, even though he may not be the agent of it, he may permit it or allow it. And so what we're asking God to do is not to allow us or not to permit the evil one to come in and just tempt us and draw us away from him. Now, I like the way the Message Bible puts it. It says, keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. I like that for translation. You know, Adam Clark, he wrote that the lead is not in a temptation. The word not only implies violent assaults from Satan, but also sorely afflictive circumstances, none of which we have as yet grace or fortitude sufficient to bear. Bring us not in or lead us not in. That's the, you know, Clark was a Greek and Hebrew scholar. And so he explains to us that that's what it's talking about. This passage is talking about how Satan assaults and attacks us and tempts us. Yeah. This is what this passage is talking about. And basically what we're asking God to do when we pray this prayer, what Jesus was teaching us to do was ask God for his protection from the devil's assaults, attacks, and temptations. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, right after that, again, we see Jesus talking about forgiveness. In verse 14, he says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So sandwiched right in between Jesus' teaching on forgiveness is our petition to be protected from satanic assaults and attacks. And so basically what we're seeing here is that our forgiveness has so much or everything to do with our victory over the devil. So forgiveness is the key to victorious living. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to show you this more in the scriptures. The scriptures really bring this out and really teaches this. But the reason you've got to forgive and you've got to extend mercy is because if you don't, the devil will have a foothold in your life.
Amen.
Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Unforgiveness, unresolved anger, bitterness, all these things opens the door for the devil in your life. You can't expect God to deliver you from satanic attack. You can't expect to exercise authority over the devil unless you have made up your mind to forgive anyone and everyone who has hurt you, no matter what they have done. Now, I know it ain't easy. I personally tell you that it ain't easy. I remember when I first got saved and God told me to forgive all those people that hurt me. I didn't want, my flesh didn't want to do it. But I just knew, I saw it right there in the Word of God. And for that, and for some reason, I just knew that whatever God said, I had to do. And so I said, "Yay, Lord, I make," and I didn't say it in those words back then, but basically this is what I did. I made a quality decision that I will forgive those people that hurt me back then, and I will forgive anyone in the future that did anything wrong. Now, you know something? When you make that decision, you will be tried. Ask me.
Yes.
Say, "Pastor Troy, have you been tried?" Oh my God, have I been tried? I have been tried. Woo, I've been tried on this one. I tell you, there's been a few times I failed. But I tell you, God brings you back to the place where he, where you belong. Glory to God.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4. I hope you found it by now. Give me a moment to look for it. Glory to Jesus. I hope you're getting these messages. I know we keep skipping, you know, like last week we did, we celebrated the Martin Luther King thing. And next week, myself and Pastor Kristen, we're going to be showing you a video so that you can understand where we're headed, you know, the vision that we have for this church. We want to have we don't want just a regular old church. We want a fun church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you see why we're doing certain things here, you see because we want you to worship God and enjoy yourself while worshiping Him. Worship should not have to be boring because we don't have a boring God.
No.
We have a God who's alive.
Yes.
As Sister Mary sung, our God he's not dead. He's alive.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. It's all right to be angry, but don't sin. It's all right for me to get mad at unrighteousness, injustice, for people doing the wrong things, but I can't go slapping people. So be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, by evening, you should be over that thing.
Yeah.
You should let it go.
Amen.
Now, too many of us, including yours truly, have harbored things overnight, just stewing on it.
I'm guilty.
I just want to slap him good. Lord, I forgive him, but Lord, if I could just slap him one time. If I could just take this side swell and stick it. Praise God. Anyway, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Say that with me. Say, neither give place to the devil. See, it's up to you. You decide whether the devil has place in your life or not. You decide. That the Greek says, don't give him a beachhead or don't give him a foothold. It's your decision. See, people sit up there saying, asking God to do something about the devil. No. God is telling you, don't give him place in your life. It's your choice. You can either let the devil have place in your life, or you can decide he won't have any place in my life. And the key is forgiveness. You don't stay angry with people. Let's read on. Let him that stole steal no more. For those of you who don't tithe. Excuse me. All right. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Hey, like a brother said one time, he said, you know, he's an evangelist, he's going around the country, and he has a little book table in the back. And one of the pastors asked a woman to work his books and stuff and sell his books for him. And the first thing he asked is, does that woman tithe? And the pastor said, well, I don't know. He said, well, you better find out, because if she'll steal from God, she'll steal from me. There's some truth in that somewhere. All right. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. All right. We can expound on all of this, but we won't. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, watch what you say.
Amen.
Don't just say any old thing to anybody. And watch your tone of voice with people.
Yeah.
Try to be loving as possible. I know some of us are gruff. You know, some people tell me, well, Pastor Troy, that's just my personality. Well, change your personality.
Amen.
Adjust it to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If your personality has ungodly inflections in it, you need to change it. So watch what you say to people. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, say let all bitterness.
Let all bitterness.
And wrath, say in wrath. And anger.
And
clamor.
And
evil speaking. Be put away from you. With all malice. All right. And then be ye kind to another, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, all that in between God telling you not to let your anger, let the sun go down on your wrath, not to anger and sin not, and then telling you all this about not becoming bitter, not getting angry with people, not treating people right, speaking to people right, and forgiving one another, all that is sandwiched, all that covers where God says, neither give place to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you do any of this, You are giving Satan a foothold in your life. And God is trying to protect you from that, but he's telling you what to do. If Satan is attacking you, if you're having demonic and satanic attacks in your life, then remember, it is not God's fault.
Amen.
It's nobody's fault, but you need to take that finger and point it to you.
Amen.
Because if you did not decide to forgive when somebody hurts you, then that's the reason why Satan is having a field day in your life. Yeah, they may have done you wrong. I understand. Been there, done that. Got several t-shirts to prove it. Got some of the scars to prove it. I have been hurt, baby. But you know what? God has been better to me than anybody who's ever hurt me. And then I have to look at the fact that I've hurt other people. Whether intentionally or unintentionally. Even last Friday when Pastor Marlon was teaching the Bible study at Operation Eye Care, and there was parts of it that was convicting me. You know, I didn't say nothing that Friday, you know, because my pride and my ego was getting the best of me. And you know, that was the other thing God rebuked me about yesterday. So I'm going to just tell it. You know, Friday, we were talking about how Jesus didn't mind certain kinds of interruptions in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there being convicted because that very day, somebody came to me. You know, I'm trying to work on, you know, because I have a job where I'm very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody came to me and asked me, Troy, could you take so-and-so downstairs to and show them how to get into the computer? I said, well, when they get ready to go downstairs, why don't you call me and let me know, and I'll go down there with them. You know, I'm trying to finish this thing. Well, why can't you go down there right now? And so all of a sudden, the carnal Troy stopped what he was doing. I looked at the person. I said, when the person goes downstairs, let me know, and I will go down there and take care of it. And then she got upset and said, why are you getting so testy with me, and walked out. You know, now, I thought I was in the right, and maybe I was, but God still spoke to me and convicted me about that lady. He said, you are the Christian in your office. It doesn't matter how people talk to you. You are supposed to respond in a different way. And he reminded me of the Bible study. He said, you were just upset because you were being interrupted. And I said, ouch. So Monday I'll be making my apologies and humbling myself.
Amen.
Amen. Now see, I you know why I tell you these things? Because the word comes to me just like it comes to you. I get smacked just like you get smacked. I don't mind telling you my life story because none of us are perfect. But I'm going to make an effort to live in accordance with this word. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. And you need to know that you got leaders here that are real. So, in between all of that, if you want God's forgiveness, you need to treat people right, and you need to forgive when others hurt you. Praise God. Look at Matthew chapter 18. We're just going to look at this. How many of y'all been getting blessed by these messages?
Amen.
How many of y'all ready to put them into practice? You ain't got much.
Yes.
Believe me, you will get your chances.
Amen.
Opportunities will come. Glory to God. They will come. Now, let's go down to verse 33. We won't read this whole parable again. But this is where, you know, the servant who God had forgiven, or the king had forgiven, who represents God.
Mm-hmm.
And the servant goes to the person who owed him only a little bit and chokes him and throws him into prison until he's able to pay. He won't forgive the guy. And so God is a little upset with the guy. It says in verse 33, shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. And delivered him, say delivered him, to the tormentors. Say to the tormentors. He delivered him to the tormentors. Do you know who the tormentors are? Satan, the devil, and demons. See, if you don't forgive, God will deliver you to the tormentors. Now, I want you to notice the parallel. In Matthew 6, it says, we are asking God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So if we forgive, we can expect deliverance from the evil one. But if we do not forgive, we can expect to be delivered to the evil one. So the choice is yours. You can either be delivered from the devil or delivered to the devil. The choice is completely yours. It's not God's. It's yours. Amen? Let's pray for our sister real quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for her. Lord, that you would help her emotionally and physically in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. You must decide whether you will forgive or not forgive. The choice that you make determines the deliverance that you get.
Amen.
You will get deliverance one way or the other. You will either be delivered to the devil or delivered from the devil.
Amen.
As they say on Fox News, you decide. It's your decision, completely yours. Now God wants you delivered from the devil, but he has requirements. You must, what's that word again?
Okay.
Forgive. Thank you, Sister Mary. Maybe I just need to preach to you for a while. Anybody? Come over here and preach to Sister Mary. I ain't getting no cooperation from the rest of y'all. What's that word again?
Forgive.
All right. It's getting better. All right. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures in which we show the relation of God's forgiveness to you and your deliverance from the power of the enemy. And you will see that in order to have complete victory over the devil and all of his forces, you must make up your mind that you will forgive. Because if you don't forgive, then God can't forgive you. And if God doesn't forgive you, then you have none of God's blessings or protection in your life, and the devil will have his way. Once God removes his umbrella of protection from over you, then the devil has access. And you in trouble, baby.
Yes.
Because God, without God, you ain't got that. You and I have been without God before, okay? We have been what they call unsaved, not born again. We was out there on our own, and we wasn't doing too good. Now, were we? We weren't doing so good. That's why we came to God.
Amen.
We came to God because we knew we couldn't handle this on our own.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So you don't want to mess up now. Glory to God. I'm with God. I want to stay with him. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. I'm just blessing my own socks off. Glory to Jesus. Colossians chapter 1. Begin at verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. See, forgiving of our sins is connected with our redemption from the power or the authority of darkness. You and I have to learn to forgive if we want to stay delivered from the power of darkness. Amen?
Amen.
If we want to stay from under Satan's authority, we have to make up our mind that we will forgive others.
Yes.
You don't do that, you get right back under Satan's authority. You and I have been under Satan's authority before, haven't we? Ephesians chapter 2 tells us how we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. We were the children of disobedience. You know, Satan was just he was just taking you, pulling you, and you couldn't even help him. He was telling you to go down that dark alley. Go buy that drug. Go into that store. willpower. No, I'm not going to ever do that again. And then Satan slaps you. I said go to that store. And you say, okay. I don't know why I keep doing this, but I'm just doing it. You know, we do that, don't we? We did that. You shouldn't be doing that now. Because you're no longer under his authority. But he was just pulling you anywhere and everywhere. You didn't want to go. You didn't like what you were doing. Did you?
No.
That's why you're here. That's why you come to know Jesus Christ. I talk to so many sinners. You know, I've been out on the streets and witnessing and talking to people. And I've talked to people. And most of them do not like what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But they don't know how to change it. And because they have been so bad Christianity so many times, they don't believe that God will truly deliver them. Unfortunately, some do get deliverance, but then they go right back into that mess.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's because we need to do a better job of discipling and teaching them their authority over the devil and stuff like that. But see, you and I have been delivered from the power of darkness.
Yes.
But you'll go right back into that thing if you don't forgive. This is the reason why many so-called Christians, as soon as they stop forgiving people, as soon as they make up their minds, I'm not going to forgive so-and-so for what they did to me, they start falling back into sins. First, they become bitter. They become nasty. They gossiping all the time. Next thing you know, they decide they don't want to come to church no more. Their church attendance is sporadic. Then next thing you know, they're watching bad stuff on TV. Then next thing you know, you see them downtown doing stuff they ain't supposed to be doing. You know why? Because they've been delivered into the hands of the enemy. Turn with me to Acts 26. I'm going to show you this in a couple more places. See, we want to show you that everything we're preaching and teaching to you is from the scriptures.
Right.
A lot of people don't, at least as far as I know, there may be people teaching this, but I haven't heard it taught this way before. It's not like I'm teaching anything new. It's right here in the Word of God. But maybe you haven't heard it before, and you need to know, well, where's that at in the Word? So I'm showing you. And we got more than one place. We're not basing what we're teaching on just one particular scripture. And we're not taking sporadic passages of scripture and trying to connect them. We're taking scripture as a whole, and we're showing you how it relates to this whole situation. And the scriptures we show you are plain and clear, are they not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of them speak for themselves. I add my little commentary to it, you know, try to make y'all laugh a little bit so you pay attention. But basically, it's telling you exactly what I'm saying here. Acts 26, verse 16 says, and this is Paul talking about how he was, when he was persecuting the church, and how God had gotten a hold of him, and the revelation that Jesus gave to him after he encountered the risen Christ. Jesus speaks to Paul and says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles in whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God." Now that's pretty clear, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
"That they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me."
Mm-hmm.
So you see, deliverance from the power of Satan is connected with God's forgiveness of your sins, don't you? You can't receive God's deliverance from the power of Satan apart from his forgiving you of your sins, because it's your sins that places you under Satan's authority in the first place. But if you fail to forgive others, then you get thrown right back under the authority of the devil. And you didn't like it before, and I'm sure after you've experienced all the glories of God, all the blessings of God, why would you want to go back into that mess again? I tell you, I don't ever want to go back to the way I used to be before I came to know Christ. That was a mess, man. I was a mess. Now, I mean, I wasn't as bad as some of y'all. Y'all was worse. I'm just messing with you. But let me tell you, I was on my way to hell just like y'all was, all right? I may have been more of a Boy Scout than some of y'all. You know, I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. You know, I did cavort with women, so that was one thing I definitely did, and I'm very ashamed of. But But I was on my way to hell just like y'all. I was going to bust it wide open. And I was a good boy. You know, good boys go to hell too. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that keeps you from going to hell. Amen. So, you don't want to get back under that mess. You don't want to get back under Satan's authority. Yeah, exactly. Jesus talked to, you know, Ann mentioned something that I think needs to be pointed out very much. Jesus talked about how the demon, when he returns, he brings seven others more wicked than himself. You don't want to get back under there. You didn't like it before, why would you want it now? I mean, see, God, he's a gentleman. When he tells you to do something, he doesn't make you do it. He speaks to you, and he gives you the choice whether to obey or disobey. Satan, he's sneaky, he's nasty. He's a child abuser. God is not a child abuser, he's a child lover. Satan abuses his children. I mean, you look at what he's doing. All you have to do is go to Cranston Street sometime and see what Satan is doing to his own children. We're trying to deliver them from the power of darkness, from the power of Satan, and bring them unto the power of God. We want to show them that they can have a better life being under God's authority than under Satan's authority. Somebody says, well, I ain't under nobody's authority. No, you think that. See, that's one of Satan's one of his most subtle and smartest things is to make you think that you're under nobody's authority. As long as you don't think he exists, you do what you want. See, so he tries to hide his existence. And a lot of those people out on the streets, they think they're doing their own thing. Well, they're not. They're doing Satan's thing. They're under his authority. But you as a child of God don't want to get under that authority again. You've experienced the goodness of the Lord. And it's his goodness that led you to repentance. Let's look at one more passage of scripture. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Are y'all getting blessed?
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. I have to check every once in a while, you know. Second Corinthians chapter 2. We'll just look at verses 10 and 11. It says, now this is Paul talking to the people at the church in Corinth. You know, there was a guy who, hey, woo, all right, y'all gonna get me acting up in here, you know, all right, this is Paul talking to the people in the church in Corinth. You know, there was a brother in there who decided to sleep with his father's wife. That's pretty disgusting, I think. And, you know, Paul told him, he said, this is, even the unsaved people don't do this kind of stuff. And you got somebody in the church doing it. Paul said, deliver such a man unto Satan, that his flesh will be destroyed, but that his soul might be saved.
Amen.
So, his being in sin was going to bring him deliverance unto the devil. Not from the devil, but to the devil. To have his flesh destroyed. But then we find out later on in the second epistle to the Corinthians that this man repented. And Paul is saying, hey, if the man repented, y'all got to forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on in verse 10 to say, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to tell you why he tells you to forgive and why he himself has forgiven the person.
Mm-hmm.
He says in verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Mm-hmm.
See, Paul knew that our failing to forgive would give Satan an advantage in our lives. See, failing to forgive anyone for anything gives an open door of access to Satan in your life. You don't want that. Paul was a great man of God, probably one of the greatest men of God to ever live besides Jesus Christ. So God inspired him to write nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. And he went through quite a bit of persecution to get these things to us. So I think he knows what he's talking about. How about you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He knows that our failure to forgive anyone gives Satan an advantage. You don't want Satan to have an advantage in your life. Amen?
Amen.
You want to do what God has told you to do. So nothing anybody could ever do to you is worth you allowing yourself to be placed under Satan's authority again by failing to forgive them for whatever they did. So learn to forgive people. Praise God. Now, before we close out, I'm going to give you a little bit of preview of what we're going to be talking about in the future. Because not only am I going to keep telling you to forgive, you know, for the past couple of weeks we've been telling you why you need to forgive. You know, we told you that because you need to get your prayers answered, you need to get your body healed, you need to get from under Satan's authority. We told you all the advantages of forgiving people. I think by now you should have gotten the fact that you need to forgive if you want to live a victorious life. But we also need to talk to you about the practicality of this thing. You need to forgive, but you need to learn how to do it. See, some of us don't know how to do it. We said, we've tried it. We've tried to make up our minds, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them. And then next thing you know, that thought comes in your head again. What they did to you. The wrong that you were done. And you're trying to battle against that thing. Well, I want you to understand this. And this is where the practical application comes in. Forgiveness is warfare.
Yeah.
Say that with me. Say
forgiveness
is warfare.
Warfare.
You're going to always be fighting battles with the thoughts of what people did to you. Still every once in a while. Even though I know for a fact that I've forgiven certain people, occasionally some thought will come into my head about what so-and-so did to me. You know, and I say to myself, man, I thought I forgot about that thing. See, that's because Satan is trying to trap you. He's trying to make you think you haven't forgiven him.
Yes.
Satan knows the power of your mind.
Yes.
If he can control your thoughts, he can control you.
Yes.
Oh, I wish I had more time to get into this. But we're going to get into this not next week, the week after next, because next week we're going to show a video. Y'all going to enjoy it. I really think you're going to love it. I loved it when I first saw it. Hallelujah. But you got to remember, it's a battle for your mind. We're going to talk about the battle of the mind in relation to forgiveness in the upcoming weeks. How Satan tries to control your thoughts, how he tries to control your heart, and tries to get you into unforgiveness towards other people so he can lead you down in the road of bitterness and frustration and hatred towards people and eventually hatred towards God.
Yeah.
See, he knows. Satan's smart. He's been doing this thing for 6,000 years. Started with Eve, deceiving her. How did he do it? By thoughts. He put a thought in her mind. He said, hey, let me tell you something. God just didn't want you to be like him. Oh yeah, putting the thoughts in the minds of those angels that rebelled with him. He works through thoughts. And when you get thoughts of unforgiveness in your head, you got to learn to battle them. You got to learn to come against them. Amen?
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Did you get anything out of this today?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.